More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. As the federal and local investigations into Sunday's tragic shootings at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek continue, people all over southeast Wisconsin hold vigils for the victims and their families and try to make sense of the violence. Milwaukeean Raminda Kaur attended a downtown vigil Sunday night. She said she's gone to services at the Oak Creek temple with her 8-year-old son, who she sometimes worries is a target because of his faith.
Since we are six, we don't cut our hair, so it's very hard for me to raise him as sick because he comes home sometimes and he complains about a bully. No matter how a person dresses, we're all the same, so let's not hate each other on basis of religion.
Paul Chavla is from the Sikh Religious Society of Wisconsin in Brookfield. He's on the executive committee of the organization and is also a volunteer educator there. Sikhism is a relatively young religion. It's only about 500 years old. And its history in Milwaukee is also relatively young as well. Chavla spoke with Lake Effect's Dan Harmon, and he began with a brief overview of Sikh history in Milwaukee.
My family was one of the first Sikh families in the city of Milwaukee. We came here in the early 70s. My mom was actually treasurer of the Brookfield Gurdwara for 26 years until I think this year or last year she retired. We actually have the first Sikh Religious Society newsletter of Milwaukee. We have that at home. I think it was like about 15 families. They rented out a bank. This was even before I was born. And then eventually they bought a property on like 55th and Fond du Lac, right across from Midtown. And then in the 90s, they bought a place on Calhoun Road in Brookfield and moved out there. But, you know, that was pretty far, and the Sikh population in Milwaukee was growing pretty rapidly. And so that's why there was a need for the Southside Gurdwara, which they started off in community centers. They might have even rented a bank, I'm not even sure, 15, 16 years ago. And then I think it was 2007. I mean, there was such a growing population on the south side here of Sikhs that they bought the Gurdwara on Howell and opened that up. Pretty much the history in a nutshell.
Well, what brought your family here?
My dad, he toured around. He went to Georgia Tech and then eventually settled in at MSOE, so that kind of brought us here.
I mean, there's a lot of Indians here, obviously. Your family is of Indian origin, I'm assuming?
My parents. Their families are from Delhi. Originally, they were born in Peshawar before, which was actually a part of India before partition. And then partition happened and between India and Pakistan, and they lost their home. Then they migrated to Delhi.
Okay. Some history that not everyone knows much about, really, on this side of the world.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you think, because we were talking before our interview that you've been back to India several occasions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I go back. I try to go back once a year. These days, a lot of my cousins are marriageable age, so I'm usually just wait for a wedding and then and then go there.
Do you think there's any difference between Sikhism here and there? Has the religion had to make some adaptations or changes, if you will, to the American way of life, I guess?
Maybe when I was younger, there was less people. I don't keep my hair, and I don't have a beard or turban. And so when I was younger, that wasn't as prevalent necessarily in India. But over the last 10 or 15 years, India has become very westernized with, you know, expansion of the call centers and the economy over there. So their middle class has grown quite a bit. So there's been a lot more Western influence over there. You see a lot more people with cut hair.
Is that a generational thing, do you think?
I think so. But for the longest time, multinational companies were not allowed in India, and Western culture was kind of shunned when I was a kid growing up. And then, like I said, over the last 10 years, they've kind of opened it up. So the cultures, India's been flooded with Western culture.
I do remember a while ago reading an article in the Times of India about younger Sikhs who did not want to wear the headdress, and it's quite a little bone of contention between older family members and younger family members.
I mean, it really can be. I have an arranged marriage with my wife, and she's from India, and that was one of my concerns, is that because they're a family, they all keep hair, and I didn't. So I thought, well, are they going to accept me into this family or not? I don't know. But they were pretty liberal, and they didn't have a problem with it.
If you can just give us an idea of what happens during a Sunday service, if you will, or any other service during the week, for that matter.
Generally, there's Kutta, which is like a sermon that they give, and they discuss Guru Granth Sahib issues. And then there'll also be time for kirtan, which is like hymns, where they'll sing hymns and you can meditate and pray. And that usually goes on for about 2 hours. On Sundays here in Milwaukee, usually they have It's almost like two services. They'll have a morning service from like 9 to 11, and then they'll do another one from 11 to 1. And most people come for the second round, the 11 to 1. And then at about 1 o'clock, they serve what's called langar, which is a community meal where anybody, everybody is welcome. Actually, at all gurdwaras, anytime you go to a gurdwara, you're any race or religion or anybody is always welcome. And that was one of the major teachings in our religion.
Does that go along with the charity that one would see at a Sikh temple?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here in Milwaukee, especially in Brookfield, I'm more involved in that temple than anything. We always have different charities or people come in where we're donating to families in India or donating to whatever Red Cross cause, or there's always somebody set up over there. You know, we even collaborate with the Hindu temple on Capitol. I've seen them. They'll set up a table Sundays. Everybody will donate to that. So we're always contributing to causes.
I do remember outside of a pretty large Sikh temple in India that every day at 3 o'clock, they're giving tons of food out. I mean, anyone that's been to Delhi will see all the homeless people there, but they're, it was a huge, huge, huge operation to get all these people fed.
Oh, yeah. The largest that I think there is at the Golden Temple in Amritsar, India, which is kind of the heart of Sikhs and Sikhism. Is the amount of food that they make is just amazing. Your mouth would drop. I mean, I would recommend looking it up on YouTube because I've seen videos of it on YouTube. I've shown people, you know, in the office, and it's just mind-boggling how much food is served there.
Well, let me just change the subject a bit and ask you something I'm sure is on people's minds, and that is, I guess, the level of animosity that you have felt being in the Milwaukee area. To my eyes, it seems like Sikhs have kept a pretty low profile in Milwaukee and never really caused anyone any trouble. So, and of course, now the spotlight is on for horrible reasons. But what has been your experience or the temple in general with people giving threats or threatening you in some way?
Like I was telling you earlier, me personally, I haven't experienced it on a firsthand basis because I don't keep the hair and I don't have turban or beard. So I personally haven't experienced it. I've heard smatterings of things that happen, but it's really not very often. For the most part, you know, 99.9% of the people in Milwaukee have been very welcoming. You know, I don't think there's any way my father and parents would have settled here if that wasn't the case. I mean, my dad had more problems down at Georgia Tech when he was in college. He had a lot of problems down there. And that was in the late 60s, though, I remember.
All right. Have you had any communication with family outside of the U.S. since Sunday?
Have I had any communication? Oh, yeah. Oh, constantly. I mean, my phone was ringing off the hook on Sunday. I'm in communication constantly with my family with BlackBerry Messenger. It's just a free messaging service where we message back and forth. I'm in like a family chat of like 18 of my relatives all across the world, and we were all talking about, you know, what was going on.
I mean, I tried to get an impression before we came on today about, especially Indian newspapers, I wanted to get it. Of course, it's in their papers and on the front pages of many of them. So what do you think is the impression of your family members that aren't living in the U.S.?
Well, what did my cousin say? I had mentioned this morning that the gunman had a tour in Iraq. He said he must have thought they were Iraqis that he was shooting up or something. I think for the most part, Sikhs, whether it's internationally or here, are viewing this as a hate crime. Even though there, you know, that hasn't been proven yet, but that's the way we're looking at it.
Hmm. Why do you think you were singled out?
Ignorance, lack of education. You know, like you said, you know, Sikhs here in Milwaukee keep a very low key, and uneducated people who make assumptions. Those assumptions aren't right. My mom was saying maybe thought we were Taliban or something, and he was shooting us up because of that. But what, like we were talking before, is that whether he thought we were Muslim or hate crime or not, it's still travesty, whether we're Sikhs or Muslim. It doesn't matter. I mean, to go around and shoot people is just sickening.
Yeah. Well, Paul Chawla, I really appreciate you coming on. I am sorry that it's under really terrible circumstances. Thank you again.
No problem. Yep, thank you.
Paul Chawla is from the Sikh Religious Society of Wisconsin in Brookfield, where he is on the executive committee and is also a volunteer educator. He spoke to Dan Harmon. We'll take a short break and then return with a national perspective on the history of the Sikhs in America. You're listening to Lake Effect from WUWM.